Hello, and welcome to Enough Liquor, a podcast where we provide you with continuing education and minimal harassment about our favorite TV show, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're on the 20th episode in the series, Adult Education.
20 episodes, wow.
Yeah.
Very exciting. That's awesome. I really like this one because it's got a very good feminist message, as per usual with a lot of these issues, but really sets, you know, the tone for it. Like, again, this show just hitting all of these topics that are still relevant today, 30 plus years later, that haven't really been handled very well by society, or at least in terms of a lot of progress. Namely, the fact that a flirtatious woman doesn't deserve to be harassed.
Yeah, it's wild because this could be an arc today and it would be incredibly relevant. You wouldn't have to change anything about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a bummer. Like, we haven't, even with all of the Me Too reckoning and things like that, mm-hmm. I think it would be maybe more universally everyone would be on Blanche's side, which is crazy that that was ever even an option. But, you know, sexual harassment at the workplace and certainly in schools like this, I feel like, you know, like, it's kind of a playful thing most of the time when it's like somebody's sleeping with their college professor.
Right.
But, you know, that's not what goes on here, obviously.
Oh, and it's an exchange, right? It's not just harassment in general. It's definitely like blackmail. Quid pro quo. Totally. Totally. It's pretty wild. So.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess maybe we should back up a little bit and talk about the B story, because love this one. I think that this B story is so funny, and I think it's another instance of the show really knowing how to balance this really heavy thing that Blanche is dealing with, because it does a good job at not making light of it at all. Like, there's some, the girls have some quips about it, but that the issue with Professor Cooper harassing Blanche is never the joke. So the B story, I think, has to be full of opportunities to be funny, and it is.
Yes, exactly. But when they do make light of it, they, like you said, it's not the sexual harassment itself isn't the joke necessarily. Although I can think of actually two instances in which it's a little like questionable in terms of like what the humor that they make of it. But by and large, the humor that is derived from it is against, you know, the perpetrator and again, you know, like all of the right sort of comedic recipes in terms of punching up and not punching down.
Yeah, the ice cream scoops in an obscene way.
Well, that's not the one I was thinking of. I was more thinking of like, all right, well, let's save it for later in the episode. Let's talk about the B story as you decide.
Right. So they're trying to get Sinatra tickets, right? Like, this is the whole thing that Dorothy has always wanted to see Frank Sinatra. And at one point, one of her kids ruined it. At another point, Sophia ruined it. So she's never had this opportunity.
Always thwarted.
Which is relatable. You know, I feel
that's
like
very relatable,
especially with somebody like Frank Sinatra or anybody, I guess. But like, that's a pretty rare tour opportunity.
Yes.
And so like you would, and it's also so dated, but like, again, such a terrible memory of when you had to go on, like, be on the phone to get tickets to a concert. Yes.
Oh my God. I literally was like having bad flashbacks, you know, where like they keep her on hold and it's insane. And it's like, but what's really funny about that is that, like, the scalper thing hasn't changed much. And in fact, might have been increased with the fact that you can buy tickets online and almost every single like online sale of tickets results in scalpers getting the best seats.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's really like that part is like the same, if not worse.
Yeah. And like the desperation for when you realize that it's sold out, like there's a guy who literally prints tickets from like a mobile printer outside of Barclays Center. Like, that is all holding true. Like, nothing has changed.
Yeah, seriously. The part that is funny to me, it totally makes sense with Dorothy and of course Sophia, and I mean this demographic in general, but just to me it cracks me up that like Rose is a Sinatra fan. Like, I feel like it's like, I guess it makes sense, but like, I don't know, he's so connected with like a New York type of, you know, like these badasses in Vegas smoking cigars type of scene, that she would just like think he was a little too much, you know?
But
it does make sense.
It does. And also like the strange connections that like sort of on that, Sophia knows somebody who knows Tina Sinatra, and and then there's that whole other thing. I think it's
Frank Garavici, Tina Tortoni.
Tina Sinatra.
Also, by the way, that whole conversation of how, like, they're just, it's almost like a who's on first. It totally reminds me of, like, a frustrating conversation with, like, a hard of hearing relative of mine. Like, Tina Tortoni? No, Tina Sinatra. Like, it's just like, of course this is what I'm saying. How are you not following? You know, anyway.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's an earlier one than this where Sophia is talking about how she knows the woman who inspired the song The Lady is a Tramp. And she's like, is it a tramp?
Is a tramp.
So good. Oh my god.
Yeah, they're already hitting really, really good strides with the Sophia connection. Did we cover Mama Celeste?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hysterical. Anyway.
So yeah, so Rose being a fan of him does not make sense, but I think what does is her, you know, moral opposition to buying scalp tickets. And when like she has the realization that it's going to, you know, incriminate her. And then Dorothy calls her out for eating grapes in the supermarket. The
One is testing. 14 is brunch.
Oh, and her, like,
and she goes, good Lord, I'm a criminal. I know.
So great.
It's so earnest. Like, it's perfect. You're just, like, calling out the fact that this goody two-shoes is actually breaking the law. And, you know she, that kept her up that night. It's amazing.
It's, yeah, it's great.
Also, on, like, the Rose lines and all these funny things, this is the first episode where she mentions St. Olaf by name.
Oh, my God, 20 in.
Which is a pretty big deal. 20 in. And she's obviously, as we've covered, you know, she's told stories that lead in that direction. She's also called herself from Little Falls, which, you know, they quickly, like, ditch that storyline. But this is St. Olaf, which is really awesome. And she has so many just perfect Rose innocent moments in this one. Like, I really love the, do you think Bob Hope got all those degrees without studying? And just the look that Blanche gives Dorothy is just, she almost like is like a, this, I don't know, she has this like sad look on her face. Like, that is one of the sadder comments that Rose has made that we just can't really explain to her, so we're just gonna let it slide.
Yeah, it's great. And they I think in the next one actually that we've established St. Olaf, but it's the first time I think that Blanche is outright like, you have to stop with these stories, which is obviously like such a running thing throughout the series. So we're seeing that build for sure. And I mean we did touch on this, but the story that she's telling, I think, where they're all just exhausted, is the Mills Freelander, like, ice cream shop and tackle shop or something. Like, great.
Listen, St. Olaf's really small. You know, you have to really combine everything.
Yeah. And the helmet with the horns at the very end of the episode. And Rose is like, it's Longden Hugen. It's so, like, it really, like, leads
the faces,
in.
Yeah. The faces in that exchange is fantastic. Dorothy just disgusted. A huge, perfect pause. Perfect timing pause. What is called Longden Hugen? Rose's, like, lips are all pursed tight, like with Dr. Jonathan Newman being invited to dinner.
So great.
I know. I actually back on the chopped nuts thing, I went at the end when Blanche is like, I may get a little crazy with the chopped nuts. Rose actually leaves the room, which cracks
so great.
Like, I kind of forget. I always remember that line, that like callback where Blanche is just taunting her, but she actually gets up and leaves the room, which I think, again, in that 1-2 beat, you know, joke combo is actually the funnier bit of the two.
It's great. And I mean, also in the kitchen when Blanche is, after she's, you know, waiting to tell them what happened, and Rose goes on another one of her like extremely tangential stories about how she ended up winning the tickets, and Blanche is just like, no, no,
no, no, no.
So good.
Please, I cannot bear that again. It's, I mean, oh God, that whole story is fantastic. It's one of my favorite exchanges, and it's also, let's focus on that for a minute. The feeling when you're talking about how, like, you know, back in the day you had to stay online or on the phone for tickets, like, talk about not having text messaging or even cell phones, and the feeling of like having to wait for someone to come home to tell them a story or like to tell them something exciting that happened in your day. Like, you held all of this in for every stupid thing that happened or every hilarious moment. And, like, if you live with someone, roommates or otherwise, you would just have to wait until they came home to talk to them about your day. And the fact that all, like, three of them have a really exciting day, actually all four of them really, come in and, like, try to, like, talk over each other and, like, get caught up in the moment, it's just perfect. That's exactly what it would have been like.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's very relatable. I think also we haven't talked about this yet, but the Southern accent was Rue McClanahan's idea. And I think that it is just so useful. And I mean, it makes the character, but in that, the Bim Bam Boom Shoe on the Ticket, like that whole exchange, totally. The accent is like crucial.
She goes, "Get your behunkus back here."
So great. Okay, so should we talk about Professor Cooper?
Yeah, and let's cover first. So what degree is Blanche getting here? Like, did she graduate from college?
Honestly, I don't know. She went to Miss MacGyver's finishing school. She's gone to a lot of different educational institutions, so it's hard to say. Like, and she was in a sorority, so I don't know.
I like how it's like you're pulling up her CV. Yeah. Right now. You're just like, I'm not, it's a little murky here. Deleted by authority of the governor. Yeah, she's like, I'll always have my degree. You know, like it's just, it's a substantial degree. This is not a certificate for this promotion that she's looking for. You know, it's just kind of fascinating. We sort of breeze over that. But anyway, so she has to take, you know, she flunks this test and it is not proving to be, you know, a good sign for her passing the course. I think Rose is like, look at the bright side. It's just one test. And then Blanche goes into the whole thing about how it actually will trickle down to ruin her degree and her promotion at the museum. She's like, oh, I guess there is no bright side.
So is it.
But yeah. So anyway, Professor Cooper, what a tickle.
What a creep. Yeah, so he like, I feel like his whole presence, like before he even speaks, is like, you know, like, you know, it's coming here.
Yeah, he's very skin crawling.
Yeah, and he's like almost, not a caricature, but he's definitely more of an extreme than I think he would encounter in real life. But the depiction that I think is super realistic, although he's a little disorganized, is when Blanche decides to report it and the dean I think is you know, I don't know what we should do, like I just started, basically brushing it off as though it was like a pretty minor thing, which is, you know, sort of what we were talking about in the beginning, like that is often how women who are sexually harassed are treated when they go to authority, and it's like,
right, if they even feel that they can go to authority,
right, which she struggles with.
Of course. Yeah, exactly. And she's encouraged by Dorothy to do that, which, if I may just interject, the fact that Dorothy had previously been sexually harassed at a teaching gig by the principal in a corset and high heels. And this is the part where I was like, I'm not quite sure if all of the humor is not played into the actual harassment.
Yeah.
But that whole part, she's like, I wasn't the only one he harassed, but I was the only one he harassed wearing a corset and high heels. And then B. Arthur just stares, this long stare in silence, like she's replaying the entire scene in her mind, and then just like shakes it off. It's like, anyway,
yeah.
it's such a fucking real moment where you're like, oh, I have a story about that relevant from my life, and then you're like, oh wow, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yeah. And you know, anyway. What I think is so realistic too about this whole thing is like, Blanche isn't sure she's gonna, I mean, I don't think she's ever seriously considering it, but I do think there's a moment where she's like weighing the option of going out with him or whatever for the grade, and like, you know, the shame of that, and the willingness, I think, to address that in even though it's a light sitcom-y way is really, really incredibly progressive, because I think that like a lot of women, that's where the shame comes from, right? Is like, you put yourself in this position, which obviously she did not, but I think that that's like the psyche of harassment and why it's so hard to reconcile with.
Exactly. And going back to like what you were saying about the authority figure of like, I think again, this could play out exactly today. Like he actually does say something like, oh, that's terrible. You know, like he reacts in the way that you would expect the authority to react. And she's like, yes, it is. Like, let's get to the bottom of this. Now it sounds like you're on my team. And then he stops when she's like, there aren't any witnesses. right? So this talk of witnesses being needed, which of course is not how harassment works.
Right.
It's just like, you're not doing it for an audience. It's the same thing with street cat calling in harassment's world, you know, where you're just like, okay, I'm walking down the street with my husband. Like, this guy is not going to say shit to me because I'm my husband's property. But as soon as I'm by myself, that's when he feels the need to pitch in. Like, it's just, it's all insane. So the talk of witnesses being needed literally stops him in his tracks. And he's like, well, I mean, it's your word against his, which again, super relevant. And his argument for not following through with the accusation is, he says, a man's career is at stake, which of course is like, we constantly hear, oh, ruin a man's career. Yeah. With sexual harassment charges, just like our president of the United States, you know, I mean, it's like, it's insane. But Blanche's retort again, it's so progressive here. She goes, well, so is mine, because this whole insane, weird, like, you know, degree that she needs because she didn't get it at Miss MacGyver's finishing school is because of her career progression. She's actually trying for a promotion. And so I thought that was awesome. And of course, then she says, not to mention my dignity, which of course is like the real piece here. But I love that she actually talks about how this hurts her career as well.
Yeah. No, it's so progressive. It's incredible. And I mean, yeah, like you said, like, Professor Cooper is probably on the short list for a Supreme Court pick at this point. Like, you know, it's prevalent.
Such an admirable man.
And they do a good job, though, I think, because I don't think that anybody would have called the show out for this, but I think they're really careful not to, like, shade teachers as a profession, because Dorothy also talks about the teacher that she had who ended up in Woad Island, who, you know, like, had a profound impact on her. And so I think they do a good job with, like, making sure
Well, and it's also college, right? It's adult education, literally the punny title, adult education. But, you know, I think they do a good job, and that never entered my mind. I also, of course, love teachers, but, you know, there's that. But it's like, what's interesting is, it shames deans, if anything.
Yeah.
Because this dean is useless.
Loser dean.
The guy who's never heard about 7D. Also, the dean, this is another thing of this ridiculous standard where he's like, sorry, the man's career is at stake, we can't do it. He equates not hearing about a sex move in life to being sexually harassed as, like, both equal, like, life's not fair.
Which is so masculine, like, so...
My white man plight that I didn't know about this doinking move is exactly the same as Blanche being sexually harassed. It's not fair. Life's not fair. Equal playing field. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Nobody's bonging the dean. Sorry to him.
Definitely not his wife.
Yeah.
we were talking about what parts of this episode, you know, like how they actually make light of the very heady topic, obviously through the B story, but even in the sexually harassing story, one of my favorite ones is honestly where they, you know, like Blanche is presenting it to the girls as like, this is what happened, right? You told me to go talk to the professor and this is what happened. What should I do? Sophia just gets up and has like a drive-by comment as she exits the room and says, get it in writing. Which, like, I mean, it's absurd on so many levels, but it's just like, she's like, look, if you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it this way, you know? It's contractual obligation. It's just, it's perfect. I love that particular bit.
Yeah, it's great. And I like the feminist perspective of this is so great because it's so realistic, right? Like, Blanche is hurt and shocked and at one point doesn't really know what to do, but she, you know, decides that she's not gonna, like, take this. She's gonna study. She's gonna get the grade. And she starts with the dean, I think, right? Like, when she goes to report it and he's like, oh, I've never even heard of 7D. And she's like, well, you can go do it to yourself. And that's, I think, when she turns, or honestly doesn't even turn, because she already has by going there. But that's when she's like, okay, the whole system is built against me. So what can I do?
Yep. Exactly. And in her speech at the end, where she's like, it actually, thinking of this motivated me to, you know, to push on and do it the right way. And of course, again, that's not an opportunity for most women who have been sexually harassed in this way, right? Like, you can't reclaim it automatically by, like, I'll just do the straight and narrow thing, like Rose says, you know, that kind of thing. But in this case, it works, you know, and she, you know, he can kiss her A, which is a wonderful, wonderful little pun by the writers there. I'm very proud of them for getting that in. But But yeah, it's like it all builds up to her being, I think she actually says when she's telling the girls that she's like, I realized I can only rely on me and that's it. And I just had to do it myself, which is really
so
cool.
Great.
But then at the end,
oh my God,
it's kind of like when you're like fixing a bathroom and then you celebrate the fact that you didn't fix it properly. Like the end, you know, they're like, oh, you're going to get the promotion. You have a degree. It's amazing. And she's like, oh, didn't I tell you? Like this other lady got it because, you know, the money I spent on this college education, she spent on a tummy tuck and a butt lift. And it's like played for laughs, but it's like literally the theme of getting ahead with your body and winning.
I know.
Like, it's kind of an interesting, like, I don't know if they actually, they had to have known that that would sort of like, undo the, I don't know, I maybe it doesn't undo, but it definitely like hammers home that like, hey, sometimes the you know, women who do stuff with their bodies do actually win in the end over you who is doing the morally right thing. You know, it's just kind of fascinating to me because it's played as these like 1-2 jokes where she's like, oh, her butt will turn to mush, but I'll always have my degree. And everybody's like, ha, 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 ha. And you're like, but wait.
Yeah, I feel like...
what happened in the whole episode?
I feel like they were going for something there and it missed. It's like 2 steps forward, 1 step back a little bit with like, you know, yeah, pretty women exactly. are always going to get it. Don't even try.
Like, maybe there aren't people thinking as hard about this as we are, but still, I suppose not. One other scene that I just want to mention here, too, is one of my favorites, and it's just such a great scene of, again, like, Sophia being cantankerous and get it in writing. You know, she's... Rose is asking her what she's doing. She's like, it's Tuesday night. I'm cleaning out my purse, which is just a perfect little old lady thing. And like that absolutely was like both of my grandmothers and one in particular, I'm sure, like had this routine down, you know, like this is life. And this is what I'm doing to take care of my little life, you know, my little corner. But she's like, why are you in such a bad mood? She goes, forgive me, Rose, but I haven't had sex in 15 years and it's starting to get on my nerves.
There's a lot of lines in this one that I feel like have been turned into memes. There's that one. And then also the part where Dorothy's on the phone and she's like, you can only hear her side of the conversation. She's like, no, I will not have a nice day.
Exactly. Exactly. That's true. But they're just perfect little quip lines that don't have to play off each other. And it's just lovely.
It's a great one. I really like this one a lot.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
I think so.
Okay. Well, sign off and join us next time when we discuss using either a heating pad or a vibrator to heal the flu. Bye, everybody.